Once upon a time, a man decided to sneak into his neighbor's fields, steal some wheat. He thought if I just take a little from each field, he won't notice, no one else will. But it will add up for a nice little pile for me when it's all said and done. So he waits for the darkest night, under cloud cover, as the moonlight was covered up. He crept out of his house. He took his daughter along with him. "Daughter," he whispered, "I need you to stand guard. Call out if anyone sees me." The man stole into the first field and began reaping. And before long, the child called out, "Father, someone sees you." The man looked all around nervously, but he saw no one. So he gathered his stolen wheat and he moved on to the second field. "Father, someone sees you," the child cried again. The man stopped and looked all around, and once again he saw no one. He gathered more wheat and he moved on to the third field. The little child, after a time, cried out again, "Father, someone sees you." Once more, a bit flustered, the man stopped his work, looked all around in every direction, and still saw no one at all. So he bundled his wheat and crept into the last field. "Father, someone sees you," his daughter cried again. The man stopped his reaping, this time angry. He looked all around, once again seeing no one, scolded the child, "Why in the world do you keep saying someone sees me? I've looked everywhere. There's no one here." "Father," murmured the child, "someone sees you from above." Tonight we're talking about integrity. Integrity, by the common definition, is doing the right thing when no one is watching. I think from a biblical perspective, a better definition of integrity is doing the right, knowing that one is watching from above. The root word from integrity, the root word that we get is integer, meaning one, a whole piece, and that's a good definition. It's a good way to think about integrity. From an engineering perspective, you would say integrity means that the steel beam or the wooden truss has the same strength throughout. Years ago, we had, in our former home, we had some old Masonite siding. Masonite siding was pretty popular for a time, and the problem with Masonite siding is that it looks real good, but becomes rather useless when water gets on the backside. And you really can't tell that it's happening, except after a time it begins to bubble up, and if you take a piece of Masonite siding that's been exposed to moisture underneath, it'll just crumble. Well, I didn't realize that we had that problem until we went to sell the house, and so we had to get those pieces removed and replaced. And it's a little bit of an issue. Those pieces lacked integrity, though they looked, for the most part, pretty good on the outside. You probably had this experience with, if you've ever experienced something like dry rot or termite or carpenter ants, things can look okay on the outside, but the integrity is compromised, and you can be in a world of hurt and a great deal of expense. Well, as we think about this from the spiritual perspective, we realize that someone sees from above. Psalm 33, verses 13 through 15, reads this way: "From the heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." May we learn the lesson, hopefully, that the Father learned that night as he took upon his ill-gotten grain, that there was someone watching from above. And as we live our lives, may we live in the same way with an awareness that someone is watching from above. So, as we are on Sunday night looking at the book of Proverbs, I hope you're already in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at several Proverbs that talk about integrity because it's in there quite a bit. Obviously, the implication is that wise people have integrity and it's important to them. And there's a number of reasons why. We're going to look at those. So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 is the first one you want to go to. Proverbs 2, 7 and 8, speaking of the Lord here. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful ones. Integrity pleases God. This is the first and most important thing that we understand, that whether anyone else understands your integrity or not, God sees that, and God's pleased with that. I remember many years ago going to lunch with a good friend, and at the time we were just going out to lunch as friends. There was no real agenda at hand, and as he got up to the front of the line where he and I ordered, he said, "I've got lunch today." I said, "Okay." And as I placed my order and he placed his, he pulled out his wallet. And it just was for a moment, but he had two cards inside that wallet. A business card where his employer would pay for lunch, and his personal card where he would pay for lunch. And he just looked and he said, "This one's mine today. We're not talking about business." That may not seem like a big thing, but that's an important thing. He chose to walk with integrity. He chose, would any accountant have said, "Hey, what's this $9.72 charge?" Probably not. Was there anyone there who would have known outside of just myself and himself and the cashier? No. But it's little things like that. That friend of mine, they moved away, and he's very successful in his line of work. Well, I'm very sure that a great deal of that has to do with his integrity. If you'd be entrusted with $20, you can be entrusted with a couple million dollars. It's important. Integrity pleases God. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 tells us, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. It pleases God, and it's important that we understand that. And when we understand that, it helps us to act with integrity. Okay, number two, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. This is a good one. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. All right? When you walk with integrity, there's nothing you need to fear. Oh, people may accuse you falsely, bad things may happen, but when you're walking with integrity, it's the safest way to walk. And so that's the second point, is that integrity blesses us. Integrity pleases God, and integrity blesses us. Years ago, I was at a dealership here in town having my car worked on. I was waiting in the reception area. I struck up a conversation with a farmer. He introduced himself. I introduced myself. We kind of made some connections and figured out that we both knew the Mock family. And this particular gentleman knew Ron and Don and had known them for a long time, and they had done work for him. And he began to tell stories about their integrity, about how hard they worked. And he said when he initially hired them, there was no discussion of price. And he was telling this to a fellow farmer. He said, "Well, how much do you pay him?" And he said, "They'll send me a bill. I don't know." He said, how do you know you're not getting cheated? He said, "Well, when I look out and I see them with their equipment and they're running to the tractor They're running out of the truck to the tractor. I'm not telling them to do that. That's telling me what kind of workers they are. And I'm happy to pay whatever the price is, because I know I'll get an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. I don't know if Ron and Don ever knew that story or knew how much they made an impression on Farmer by the fact that they worked hard and that they didn't slack off or goof around. They ran to the truck. And that's a good lesson for all of us. It's a real good example of how to work, because it blesses you. And that farmer likely hired Don and Ron for as many projects as he needed. And don't you know that any other farmers who ask him about needing a pond dug or some dirt moved or whatever, that instantly the mocks came first on his list. That's why the mocks are successful. I mean, a lot of reasons they're successful, but one of them is their work ethic, a measure of integrity. And that's what integrity does. It blesses us. Number three, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Go two chapters over. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 6. Righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. And the third point is that integrity protects us. Integrity pleases God, it blesses us, and it protects us. Integrity is like a shield that will protect you in times of hardship. We know the biblical story from Genesis, the account of Joseph. Now, Joseph was treated unfairly several times. And one of those times was by Mrs. Potiphar. He was accused of doing something he didn't do. She came on to him and pursued him. And his response to her, I believe, shows a great deal of integrity. He says, "How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Well, if you think about that, I mean, if he had, you know, fallen to Mrs. Potiphar's temptations, you would think the sin would be against Potiphar and against himself. But no, Joseph thought first that his primary sin would be against the Lord God. Well, I think that integrity, now, it didn't, in the short term, he got punished for it. But in the long term, God took care of Joseph, didn't he? He looked after him. And I believe the same is true with us. Walking with integrity means that even when you are falsely accused, someone makes up a story, someone tries to cheat you, that you don't have to worry. God's going to work that out. Maybe not in the short term, but in the long run. He knows his servants, and he knows those who have integrity. 25 or so years ago, when I was a student at Oklahoma Christian, there was another student who, he and I had a class together. It was a general education course. I was a Bible major. He was an accounting major, and he was, I can't remember, sophomore or junior. He was far enough along that every summer he would get internships with different companies. That's an important step in your career path as a young person, is getting internships. Not just for what you learn, but also for who you meet. It can open some doors. It's really important. He got an accounting internship with a very prestigious company. Things were going to be real good for him straight out of school if that internship went well. Well, he shared that he was keeping the books, and his boss sort of, not directly, but indirectly implied that he needed to make the numbers match a certain standard that they didn't actually match up to. And he had a choice in that moment, whether to serve his boss or to serve the boss, knowing that if he displeased the boss on earth, could lose his internship, might not be asked back. Well, he told him, "Sir, I know that's what I'm supposed to do, but it's a matter of integrity. That's not honest, and I can't do it." Well, he wasn't hired at that company. But he had better opportunities that came as a result of that. Integrity blesses us. We live in an evil world. There's lots of crooked people. Integrity is a way in which we shield ourselves from wickedness. Fourth, integrity impacts generations. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. "The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." This is an old adage that more is caught than is taught. I think it's, you know, we can teach our children technically what integrity means and define it and maybe give an example or two. But where our children really learn integrity is by watching mom and dad. They learn what integrity really means. If more is caught than taught, then we need to walk carefully. And it can go both ways. When our children see us cut a few corners or cheat here or there, they're paying attention. And they're saying, "I know mom and dad say to do this, but really how they're living is a little different. And that's the way to get along in this old world," they think. But when they watch their mom and dad act with integrity, it makes a big difference. Again, back to my time at Oklahoma Christian, I heard a very influential Christian college professor. Several of you would know his name. He's gone on to heaven now, but this man had served his whole life working with churches and working with Christian schools, and he told a story of his daughter who was grown and who was studying to be a surgical nurse. And he's telling this story to a bunch of preachers, so he's being very open about it, and tells a story that his daughter, who's studying to be a surgeon's nurse, has gone through school, and now she's getting some practical, I don't think it was an internship, but she's standing with the surgeon and learning along how to be a part of a surgical team. And this particular surgeon was a really good one. He had a real high reputation and had known for not only being the best, but having the best on his team. And she really, really wanted to be on his team, to serve as a nurse beside him in surgery. And this opportunity to work beside him was good. One of the things that surgeons, a lot of precautions that they take, but of course when you have a patient open, you have surgical sponges inside the patient to keep the blood from that's coming out from leaking and kind of keeping things under control, but you want to make sure to get all the sponges that you put in. You want to get that exact number out. And that's one of the jobs of the nurses. Count the sponges in, count the sponges out. The surgeon opened up the patient, began to do his work. Sponges were needed and placed. The daughter was counting each and every sponge. She knew exactly that there were 9 sponges inside the patient. Surgeon said, "Okay, I'm done here. Let's close the patient up." They began to pull the sponges off, and she could only count 8. Now, that's a big deal in that setting, because you don't want to leave a sponge inside a patient. It can cause a whole lot of problems. Somebody can get sued. Hospital can get sued. Big deal. The surgeon became a little more impatient and a little more gruff, a little more demanding that they find the sponge. Finally, Lassie said, I know the sponge isn't in there. I can clearly see it's not in here. I'll just close it up and you guys find the sponge. And the nurse had to make a decision in that moment because she knew what her job was to have the exact count of sponges that she took out that she put in. And she's got a choice whether to stand up to this prestigious surgeon with this high reputation in front of all her friends and colleagues and fellow students to say, no, sir, we can't. And she stood her ground. Sir, I realize it's not protocol, but I can't let you close this patient up until we find that sponge. Are you sure you counted right? Yes, sir, twice. Well, they went back and forth for a little bit. Finally, the surgeon took a deep breath. And he looked at her. And he said, well done. And he backed up. And he pulled his shoe back. And underneath was a surgical sponge. He was testing her integrity. Doctors, surgeons, if you don't know, can have a high level of ego. And he wanted a young lady who wasn't afraid to stand up for what was right, even in the face of a high ego surgeon. He said, I knew exactly how many sponges there were. I just wanted to see if you would stand up. You could close the patient up. As my college professor told that story, tears came to his eyes. As they should. He was very proud of his daughter. But her integrity in the operating room that day was a result of her growing up and watching her own father's integrity along the way. She didn't just hear him talk about integrity, she watched him. And she knew that someone was watching from above. That integrity blessed him, it blessed his daughter, and now I'm sure 25 years later, blesses her daughter's children if they've walked in integrity. Integrity impacts the generations, and it makes a difference in us. You can probably think of your own parents or grandparents who modeled to you a good example of integrity. If they did, and you paid attention, it was a good blessing to you. So integrity pleases God, it blesses us, it protects us, it impacts the generation, and it grows us. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 6. Blessed is a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Now, integrity does bless us, and sometimes that's true financially, but not always. I think there are people who don't make a lot of money who have a high deal of integrity. But integrity is a trustworthiness manner. It's whether you have $10 or $10 million in the bank, the question is, can God trust you? Can God trust you? Are you trustworthy? Do you walk in such a way that he sees your integrity and wants to bless you? It's so easy to compromise in little things. Years ago, I was needing to buy a new vehicle. I found a Ford Explorer that I really liked. It was in a town some ways away from here, and I went and I looked at it, and it looked good. Mileage, price seemed fair, and it was a police officer that was worked in that town that was selling it to me, so felt good about the purchase and decided, okay, we shook hands and we began a little bit of the paperwork. Now, you know, in Kansas, when you buy a car, that especially when you do it person to person, you need the title, and on the back, you fill out your information, and there's a section on the back of the title which is simply a blank line. And what you're supposed to fill in that line is how much you paid for the car. Now, the seller's supposed to fill that out. The buyer and the seller both sign it. And the seller filled out everything that they could, asked me to fill in my address and things, but looked at me and said, "You go ahead and fill in whatever you want on that price." Now, why is that important? Well, because they know that how they calculate the sales tax is off that number. So it's more advantageous to me to put a lower price. I don't like to pay taxes any more than you do. I mean, maybe some of you like to pay taxes, but generally speaking, I don't think. The bad news is if Jesus didn't get out of paying taxes, like, we're not getting out of it. But I had a choice in that moment as to what number to write. I didn't want to write the price that I was paying. I wanted to write half that number, be less taxes. But I knew that someone sees from above. I know that people do it all the time. I know that the government knows that people do it all the time. And I knew that my tiny little amount on this used Ford Explorer wasn't probably going to make anyone make a difference in the state budget. But integrity is important. And everybody thinks, you know, when it comes to the big things, I'll have integrity. Well, it starts with the small things. Better is a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man who's crooked in his ways. So at the end of the day, I paid more tax than I wanted. But I left with a good car and my integrity intact. All right. Let's close with some action points. Number one, these are things we've talked about. Integrity pleases God, it blesses us, it protects us, it impacts the generations beyond us, and it grows us and matures us, prepares us for better things. Here's how we can put it into practice. Number one, have integrity in your words. And Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Now, this may seem like a simple thing, but keep your commitments. Proverbs 12:22 said, "The Lord detests lying lips, but his delights in people who are trustworthy." Okay? You should keep your word, even when it costs you. Here's one that goes back about 20 years. Back in the youth group era, the youth group teens were having a devotional at the home of Rodney and Joyce Bole. And quite a crowd gathered out there. And Rodney Bole started a campfire. And a neighbor called or something, I don't know. But here comes the fire department. And they weren't looking to get anybody in trouble. I said, "Sir, you know that it's illegal to have a fire burning out here where you are." And the fireman looked at Rodney and said, Now the exception to this is if that fire's for food. If it's a fire that you're lighting to roast hot dogs or cook marshmallows, then that's fine. And you won't have to pay a fine." Well, the campfire wasn't set up for food. It was just a campfire for a Devo, for some teens. And in that moment, Rodney had a choice. Now, it wasn't such a big thing. I don't think the fine that he was going to pay made a difference in anyone's budget. I think the fireman was trying to let him off. But Rodney knew that he was a man of integrity. And he couldn't, without lying, say that fire is for cooking. So he said, "No, sir, it's just campfire." Rodney got a ticket that night. But he kept his integrity. So have integrity in your words. I think that's a good thing to do. Number two, have integrity in your actions. Do what's right. Proverbs 21 says, do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Do you work from home? If you're watching online, do you work from home? My question is, do you work from home? Okay. It is the world that we live in. It's a nice convenience to have. But if you take advantage of it, you're not acting with integrity. So work honestly. Whether you're at your employer's office or you're working from home, if you're getting paid, you should do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. A lot of things like that. There's there's whole, my job could be so easy, very easy. There are websites that I just for a tiny subscription fee, I could have other people's sermons. And I'm pretty good at reading. I could have all this time freed up. Wouldn't have to study. I could just think of all the ways my life could be different. Probably no one would know. But that's plagiarism. That's cheating. So, preachers should do their homework. Do the work. So, have integrity in your actions, okay? Whether it's your work or your finances, your relationships, your schooling, have integrity. Do what's right. So first point is say what's right. Second action is do what's right. And finally, guard your integrity no matter what. Guard it fiercely. When the cashier at Chick-fil-A gives you too much change, here in about a month, as you all submit your taxes, you'll have opportunities, of course. You can skew the numbers a little this way, skew the numbers a little that way, and I doubt you'll get audited. But someone will see from above. Years ago, I had another good friend who we had a hailstorm come through. And he submitted a claim to his insurance company. And the amount that it took, the insurance sent out an adjuster and they gave him a check, and the amount of the check that they gave him was higher than what it actually cost to replace the roof. And so he cashed the check, he paid the roofers, and he had a choice in that moment. Boy, I pay a lot in insurance premiums. They're not going to know. Boy, they overcharge me anyway. And they could make a lot of excuses to keep that extra. And probably no one at AAA insurance company is going to even know. But someone would know. Because someone's watching from above. So, my friend, being a man of integrity, he sent the money back to the insurance company. I wonder if that was the first time an insurance company ever received such a letter. But for sure, they knew that client had integrity. Psalm 101 says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you watch over us. And Lord, we're also keenly aware that you're watching us. That you know us, that you examine us, that you know our hearts, you know our words, and you know our ways. Lord, we humbly ask that you examine our ways. Bring to light any dishonesty or any deception. Weigh that heavily on our hearts. Help us to say what's right. Help us to do what's right. Help us to guard our integrity. Lord, if necessary, bring forth repentance. Help us to turn from crooked ways and to do what's right. Father, we pray that our lives will reflect the life of Jesus in all we do. May we please you, our audience of one, watching from above. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.